as we read from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 through 29. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. As we come today, I want to meditate on this thought of the faith of Moses, a faith that chooses God over the world, a faith that chooses God over the world. And I want to use a song that I'll be referring to throughout the message. And the song is, I'd Rather Have Jesus. And this song was written by a lady named Ray Miller. And there was a young singer that was 23 years old, George Beverly Shea. Many of you know him. He sang with Billy Graham for years. And one of the key songs that he sang was the song, I'd Rather Have Jesus. He was encouraged by his parents to sing gospel songs and to sing in the church. He was in college, and he ran into some rather hard times. And so he was actually presented with an opportunity to sing at, start a career by singing at Radio Music Hall in New York. And he was kind of struggling between the fact of whether he wanted to go secular or he wanted to continue to sing gospel songs. He was visiting his mother, and as he was struggling with this decision, he sat down at the piano to play. And his mother had the words to the song on the piano, I'd Rather Have Jesus. He read the words of that song, began to sing the words of the song, and according to him, he that night made his decision that he would follow Christ, that he would rather have Jesus than a career in the secular music field. And so we come and we struggle with this idea. You know, I'd rather have Jesus. You know, there are a lot of opportunities that are presented before us. There are a lot of things that come before us, but when it comes down to, as we say, the nitty-gritty, would you rather have Jesus? I heard the testimony about Charles Templeton, and Charles Templeton and Billy Graham were evangelists together, and they actually co-founded a ministry entitled or called Youth for Christ. As time went on, Billy Graham went on to be this great evangelist. But Charles Templeton became an agnostic and later became an atheist. And as he progressed on in years, Lee Strobel, and many of you have heard of Lee Strobel, he's written the book Case for Christ, and other books. But Lee Strobel actually interviewed Charles Templeton. And he asked Charles Templeton, and Templeton was much older at that point, how do you assess this Jesus? And let me just read what Strobel records that Templeton said. Templeton said he was the greatest human being that ever lived. He was a moral genius. His ethical sense was unique. He was intrinsically the wisest person I've ever encountered in my life or my readings. His commitment was total and led to his own death, much to the detriment of the world. What one could say about him is only one thing, and that was he was a form of greatness. And Strobel continued to interview Templeton, and then Templeton kind of stuttered, and Templeton said this. He said, "He's the most, he's the greatest." And then he stopped and he said, "In my view, he's the most important being that ever existed." And then Templeton said something that just took Strobel back, something that he didn't expect it. He said, "If I could put it this way," and his voice began to crack, and he said, "I miss him. I miss him." Two evangelists, Billy Graham, who said, "I'd rather have Jesus and follow Christ and become a great servant of the Most High God," started out with Charles Templeton. They founded a ministry together. But Templeton wandered off without Christ. And he said, in his waning years, "I miss him. I miss him." I wonder how many people are living their life without Christ. They would rather have Jesus than something, they'd rather have something else than Jesus, and they don't know it, but they're missing the greatest thing that they could be about. People think that Christians are crazy sometimes because we trust Christ, because we worship Christ, because we praise Christ, because we give glory to God. They think that we're crazy sometimes, but they don't know. They don't know that those of us who have found this full life in Jesus Christ, we are some of the most joyful, grateful, peaceful individuals that there are. I'd rather have Jesus. We want to talk about Moses and the fact that he would rather have God than anything else. We're going to start out by talking about Moses' parents. And notice in Hebrews 11:23, it says, "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." You remember that Pharaoh put out an edict to kill all the Hebrew babies. And Moses' parents put Moses in the river. And wouldn't it so happen that somebody found Moses, brought him back, and Moses actually grew up in the palace. Moses not only grew up in the palace, but his mother was the one who nourished him and raised him up. And, you know, let me just say this on a side note, and so you don't have to pay for this one. I'm giving you this one for free. And that is this. You know, Moses' parents put him in the river. They let him go. And God brought him back to him. And sometimes when we deal with individuals in our families and we deal with family members and we deal with situations, sometimes we got to do like Moses' parents. We got to put them in the river. And we got to let them go. And let God deal with them. Man, just think how God worked and God orchestrated that whole situation and God brought them back. You know, as you deal with, and I know that there are many people, not only here, but in a lot of places. You know, we had a men's fellowship yesterday and somebody came up and asked me to pray for their wayward children, their children that had wandered off. And if we, by faith, turn them over to God, there's no guarantee that they're going to come back. But there is one guarantee. God is going to do all he can to bring them back. God is not going to fall down on the job. But I like what it says, that Moses' parents saw that he was a proper child. And notice the word, the Greek word here means exceedingly beautiful. Now, I was struggling with this because, you know, I was thinking, why would they emphasize the fact that this was a beautiful baby? You know, after all, aren't all babies beautiful? So, but the scripture emphasizes this. And then wouldn't you know it, if you look at, and I got it up on the screen so you don't have to turn there, Acts chapter 7 and verse 20. And it says this. It says that when Moses was born, look at this, he was beautiful to God. That when he was born, he was beautiful to God. And you know, trying to look at that and say, okay, you know, maybe we can look at the physical aspect of his beauty. But I think that there was something far more important working here. That God saw the beauty of the faith of Moses. That God saw the beauty of the fact that he would trust him and that he would rather have Jesus than anything. It looked beyond, I believe God looked beyond the physical aspect. And God saw the faith that would one day be presented in this baby. As we look at the scripture, I have 4 points and I'm done. The first point is, would you rather have Jesus than worldly prestige? Would you rather have Jesus than worldly prestige? Hebrews 11, 24, by faith. Faith is the evidence of things hoped. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By faith that Moses stepped out, by faith, when he was grown up, when he was a full grown human being, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Man, just think of all the privileges that came with being called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Man, Pharaoh was the most powerful person in the land. So his daughter had an elevated position. And anyone that would be under her or related to her, just think of the prestige that you would walk around and people would acknowledge you on a regular basis. That you would walk around and people would respect you. They would honor you. They would give you the prestige. And so here's Moses trying to figure out, do I want the prestige of being called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, or do I want to be known as a humble servant of the Most High God? And you know, the sad thing is that there are a lot of people that will choose the prestige of the world. They will choose the position of Pharaoh's daughter. Look at this, this next slide. Would you rather have Jesus than worldly prestige? As Moses struggled with the prestige that went along with being called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and the humility that went along with being a servant of God, as he stood between the two, as he bounced back, the scripture says, by faith, he chose to be obedient to God. The words to the song, I'd rather have Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be a king of a vast domain, than be held by sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world can afford to bring. And we sing this song and we say that we would rather have Jesus. But then we do things and we look for people to give us kudos. We look for people to applaud us. We look for people to recognize us. Would you really rather have Jesus? You know, I like the song that says, the mean things you say, they don't make me feel bad, because I can't miss a friend that I never had. I got Jesus, and that's enough. I got Jesus, and that's enough. I'd rather have Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name. Moses, he would rather have Jesus than worldly prestige. The second thing that I want to say, would you rather have Jesus than worldly pleasures? Would you rather have Jesus than worldly pleasures? Look at this. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. The pleasure of sin, it only lasts for a season. The reward of suffering for the Lord outlasts any pleasures of sin, because sin only lasts for a season. When I was growing up, one of the most pleasurable experiences that I've ever had was going to the amusement park. There's a whole lot of pleasure at the amusement park. But I find in my later years, as I have grown up, those rides that spin around and that go up and down. I remember a couple years ago, we went to Idlewild Park, and I got on this one ride with my granddaughter. And we were spinning around, man, and all of a sudden I just, you know how you feel, man. I know y'all getting ready to go to lunch, so I don't want to be too graphic. But I was spinning around, and I got off the ride, and my granddaughter said to my wife, I think there's something wrong with Pop Pop. Yeah, there was something wrong. Yeah. But, you know, back in the day, man, you know, I would get on the roller coasters, and I would ride the roller coaster. I would ride all the other rides, man, and it was such an enjoyable and such a pleasurable experience. But, you know, the only bad thing is when the ride is over, as B.B. King would say, the thrill is gone. The thrill is gone. And so it only lasts for a season. And the thing is that you got to keep getting back on the ride, and you're chasing that thrill over and over again. But when the ride is over, the thrill is over. Let me tell you something. When we choose to sin, Brother Jeff brought it out, you know, this morning when he was challenging us on, you know, not sinning, not having sin in our life. That when we sin, it feels good, man, in the flesh. If sin feels good to the flesh. And that's the problem that a lot of people have, is that sin feels so good to the flesh that they have to keep going chasing it over and over and over again. And that's when people become addicted to things, because they're chasing that thrill. They're chasing that pleasure. But we can learn a lesson from Moses today. It says that he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin. And this is going to be the wisest thing that you might hear today. The pleasure of sin for a season. Sin only lasts for a brief time. It only lasts for affliction. I mean, for a season. But notice, if you go to that next slide, where it says 2 Corinthians 4:17. I love this verse. I love this verse. It says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That when you serve God and you deny yourself, you know, and because you're serving God and you put God first, that it says, opposed to the sin that only lasts for a season, the light affliction It says that only lasts for a moment, but it brings an eternal weight of glory. What is wrong with us, man? What is wrong with us? What? It don't make sense. Why in the world would we involve ourselves in things that only give us pleasure for a moment when we could be doing something that will last for all eternity? That makes no sense. But we get caught up in the moment. We get caught up and we get overwhelmed. And the next thing we know, we've sinned and we've only enjoyed it for a season. But just think, when we labor for the Lord and we serve him, that one day we're going to go to heaven, and that the Bible says that our works will follow us, and that throughout eternity, what you have done will last for all eternity. There's only one life, and it'll soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. Only what's done for Christ will last. Would you rather have Jesus or worldly pleasures? Would you rather have Jesus than worldly prosperity? Oh, man. See, I hear some of y'all now saying, come on, Pastor, this is a hard choice right here. You know, we got to live in this world. You know, we gotta have money. You know, we got to have things to exist and to live our life. You know, the fact is, that not that you have money and prosperity, but does money and prosperity have you? Does it have a grip on you? And see, it didn't have a grip on Moses because his faith was powerful. And notice what it says here. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. I like that last part. He had respect unto the recompense. You know, what does that mean? That he realized, which one was the greater reward. He realized the one that had the most value. What do you value? What do you value? What do you value? Things that have lasting value? Think about this. Many things we value in the past. Oh, I'm getting ready to preach. This is going to hurt. This is going to hurt. Man, this is going to hurt because it's hurting me. It's hurting me. Many things we valued in the past now fill our garages and storage boxes. I told y'all, man, when I graduated from college, y'all heard this story before. But there's new people that haven't heard this story, so... I bought me a 1976 Ford Granada. That thing was clean, man. You know, I kept it polished, got some black stuff to put on the tires, kept the chrome hubcaps clean, got me some Armor All and put it on that dashboard, and you know, so that it wouldn't crack. Man, I was styling and profiling. I was like the man that had the diamond in the back, sun rooftop, digging the scene with a gangster lean. Ooh, ooh. I was leaning, man, in that Granada. Many days out there, rubbing on it, shining it, cleaning it, and then riding along, leaning to one side, driving with one finger. Then God just interrupted my program. He called me to go to seminary. And when I went to seminary, we hit hard times. And I remember I was in my apartment one day, and all of a sudden I heard a bang. And I looked out, man, and somebody ran into my car. And I was so poor that I couldn't pay attention. So instead of me taking the money and getting the car fixed, I just taking it trying to live. And I remember the car started rusting. It started falling apart. And I'll never forget the day that I called the tow man to come get my car. And I sat out there, and as he jacked that thing back up on the tow truck, I looked at that car and I remembered all the days I spent polishing and shining and cleaning all the times that I spent giving value to that car. And now it was being towed away to the junkyard. What do you value? What do you value? The Bible says that Moses esteemed the reproach. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures in Egypt. Man, you know, there was a prankster that went into a store one day. He began to switch the price tags on items in the store. And the store manager knew that something was wrong when one of the customers bought a hammer and it cost $199.95. Another customer came and bought a big screen for $14.95 and knew that something was wrong. But what had been done? The values had been switched on the items. And we have to be careful that we don't allow our value. Ooh, Brother Jeff. We have to be careful that we don't allow our values to be switched. Moses did not let his values be switched. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures in Egypt. If there was anybody, you know, us sitting here today, if we are honest, you know, we might not be able to sing that song, "I'd Rather Have Jesus." Because we got so much junk going on inside of us, so much junk going on in our life. But Moses was truly one that could sing, "I'd rather have Jesus." Then let me just share the words to the song, if you put them up there on the screen. "I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have him than riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be a king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world can afford today." Let me read that one more time. Let me read this one, because this is sticking in my soul, man. That Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures in Egypt, all the treasures in America. He said, "Give me God. Give me God. I'd rather have God than all that, because my values are not." Whoa, whoa. My values are not messed up. I got my values straight. And that's a problem with us. I'm throwing myself in there. You know, somebody said when you point one finger, there's three coming back at you. We got our values messed up. And we sing, "Christ is all this world to me. Jesus is all the world to me. We sing all these songs, and yet and still our values are messed up. And we need to take a page out of Moses' book and realize that all the treasures in America are not worth what we can have in Christ. What we can have in God. Let me move on. I can see that this is a hard message right here. this is a hard message, man. I like to preach about Jehovah Jireh. God provide. Amen. God will provide, right? Yeah. You know, this is one of them hard messages. You know, when Jesus was talking to the disciples and they was talking about marriage and divorce and all that, and the disciples said, "Man, this is a hard saying. This is hard, right? This is hard. But let me move on. And I'm going to let y'all go. I'm going to close out with this last thing right here. Would you rather have Jesus than worldly pressure? Than worldly pressure. Would you rather have Jesus than worldly pressure? Look what it says here. By faith, verse 27, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Just think of the pressure that was on Moses to become and be recognized the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Just think of that pressure. Now let's move past that and now think of the pressure that was coming on him when he now opposed. Whoo! The pressure that was coming on him now that he opposes Pharaoh. And man, we are pressured in this world. And the fact is that many of us cave to the pressure. Notice this, if you go to that next slide. When you put yourself under the world system, you bring upon yourself the world's pressure. When you put yourself under God's system, your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Your yoke is easy. And we would rather labor under the world system. Let me share with you a theological passage of someone that labored under the world system and the pressure that was on them and the results of laboring under the world system. Listen to this. You're lying to yourself, but you don't even know it. You're so busy following the Joneses, you ain't got time to show it. Keeping up with the Joneses is going to make your life a mess. Bills, collectors, tranquilizers, and getting deeper in debt. Look at. Bills, bill collectors, tranquilizers, and getting in deeper in debt. That's what happens when you labor under the world system. All this stuff comes down on you. It comes, it pressures you. And in Romans chapter 12, it says, do not be squeezed into the mold of this world. This world is trying to pressure you into its mold. But it didn't stop there. Jones has got a new car today. Here's what you should say. Hooray for the Joneses. But look at this. Instead, you worry till your whole head turns gray. Worry about the Joneses. Remember, it's their car, and they're the ones that have to pay. Leave those Joneses alone. Look, your whole head done turned gray because you're worrying about the Joneses. Let me remind you of this. That your car might be old, but it never failed to get you where you want to go. Right? We squeeze ourselves into the world's system. But Moses, we can learn a lesson that when we choose to have Jesus, I would rather have Jesus than to be pressed into this world system, than to allow this world to shape and mold me. You know, I realize this, I'm through. I realize this. Let me say this. That sometimes when the preacher preaches, that he's saying stuff that is right there that, okay, I'm right with you, Pastor Glaze. I can grab a hold on that. I can hold on to that. But sometimes the pastor and the preacher, when he preaches, raises the bar just a little bit, so we can stretch ourselves. And this is one of those messages today where it's one of those stretching messages that we, instead of staying in that incubator state, that we are growing. And so hopefully, you know, you might not, I'd rather have Jesus than worldly prestige. Well, you know, I like a little recognition every now and then. Would you rather have Jesus than worldly pleasures? I like to go to the amusement park and seek some thrills. Would you rather have Jesus than worldly prosperity? I like to have a little cash in my bank account. Would you rather have Jesus than worldly pressure? You know, sometimes we got to deal with, you know, the pressure. You know, and so, you know, we can begin to rationalize and say, Pastor, you put it out there too far, and I'm just going to disregard what you said today because it's just too far of a stretch. But somebody told me this, that if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. And so hopefully, if nothing else, you can take this little handout that we gave you and just go look and say, boy, Pastor really stretched the bar today. He really put it out there. He really made us reach this morning. And, I'm going to set it out there. I might not reach it, but you know what? You know, I like what Paul said. Paul said that he presses toward the mark. And what that means is that he might not hit it every time, but that's what he was aiming for. Every time he was aiming for the mark. And if we don't aim for what God has for us, then we're going to be these little Christians that never grow, that are never stretched. This man made it into Hebrews 11. There's a whole lot of people in the Old Testament. This man made it into Hebrews 11, the New Testament Hall of Fame, Hall of Faith. Why did he make it in there? I believe he made it in there simply because he had a faith that chose God over the world. That's how he got in. You know, Enoch got in because he walked with God, right? Noah got in because he built a ship by faith. These guys got in for a reason. He got in because he trusted God, and he chose God over the world. So I encourage your heart today as we go on this faith journey to the resurrection, and we realize that Moses' faith speaks to us about the importance of living by faith and choosing God over the world.